each of us. And that, Father, that the word that Cherie is going to give us, Lord, will make a difference in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I have a ton of announcements. So get your piece of paper and pen ready because you need to write some of this stuff down, okay? Okay, the first thing we want to remember about the Financial Revolution Conference that's coming May the 5th and 6th at 7 o'clock in the sanctuary. The Radiant Women's The Encounter, that's going to be on May the 18th, and you need to register for that. I think it starts like at 9 o'clock till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's going to be $25, but they're going to serve breakfast and lunch that day. So Pastor Terry's going to be the main speaker, so I'm looking forward to that. Okay, and then let's see. I know, but I was going to talk about the PASOC. It's at 7:30 this Friday right here. This is the revelation of Passover PASOC. It's the Israel Club. It's what it is. So that's something that you're interested in. Ms. Sue, I think, and your husband are the leaders of that. So that might be something you might want to put on your calendar. Pardon me? This Friday. So that would be what? I can't even think. 23rd? Yeah, the 26th. Yeah, okay. Well, I don't feel quite so bad not knowing. Okay, and then, 7:30. Huh? And we also want to remind you that early voting started Monday for Tarrant County for the Republican Party. Well, I guess it's all of them. But she just had a little deal here that says, although local elections are officially nonpartisan, party affiliation is a strong indicator as to how a candidate will govern. So, if you live in Tarrant County, I'm not sure. Is there some place where they could go, Sue, and look up to see just exactly? I know where I live, we've got some school board.
School board, city council, all that kind of stuff. It's all local elections right now. And one of the things that you can decide who you're going to vote for is you can ask them three questions, and you can locate where their heart is by asking these three questions. What is their stance on Israel? What is their stance on abortion? And what is their stance on self-sex marriage? Same-sex marriage, yeah. Sorry. Anyway, you can ask those questions and know where their heart is and if you want to vote for them or not. Anyway.
We'll talk later, honey. Okay. Thank you, Sue. Okay. I guess at this time now, I don't see any, I don't think we have any new folks, do we? Except maybe that little one back there. Oh, she's not new? Okay. Oh, she's been here before. I guess I just must have not been here. Oh, she was just tiny. Okay. Okay, so now it's time for, get your ticket out. It's time for our gift bags to be handed out. Here comes Miss Diane. I think I got all the announcements, didn't I? I think so. Okay. 308. 308. Can you believe that? Just put it over there. Just give me one.
Two
2292. All right.
229.
Oh, very good. How are we doing over there on our sign-ups for refreshments and for the offering, Tony? June 11th for the offering. Same thing for the refreshments. So we're looking at sometime in June. So if that'd be something you're interested in, well, please go to the credenza over there and sign up, okay? All right, Miss Sue, I think now I'll turn it over to you. No?
Offering.
Offering. I forgot the offering. Sorry about that, Linda. I need to start reading my sheet of paper here a little closer.
It's all right. Okay.
All right, ladies. I have that much
scripture.
But the Lord talked to me this morning while I was waiting for my dog to come in from being outside chasing who knows what, about something else. So I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to raise your hand. How many of you have ever been completely without food? Nothing in the cupboard? Okay. How many of you have never had another piece of clothing to put on? Quieter? Okay. How many of you have never had a roof over your head and lived in a car or a tent? Okay. All the rest of you should make three ticks on the prosperous side of your life. I have done all of those. Lived in my car. Didn't know where my next meal was coming from. And didn't have any clothes. The only clothes I had was the clothes on my back. Now, that all sounds, why are we talking about that at offering? Well, why do you give your offering? Do you know? Most people don't. This church would be different because we hear about it all the time. But I'm going to tell you a story because this is what the Lord told me to tell you. When I was adopted, I didn't know about money. I was 4. And my mom and dad, every Saturday, would give me $1. And it was never a dollar. It was 10 dimes. My dad would count out 10 dimes into my hand. Now, we could do whatever we wanted to with that money. He did not tell us that we had to put our offering in church. He didn't tell us that. He suggested it. He told us we should put a dime in church the next morning. And we had these little white envelopes, because I went to the Methodist church, that had our name on it and a number. And so I would put something in that envelope every Saturday when my dad would give it to me. I don't know whether my sister did or my mom or anybody. I just knew I put money in that envelope. Not because I had to, but because it was suggested. Anyway. I didn't know why. I just knew that that was kind of what we should do. I was 11 years old before I heard an offering message on tithing. And that message came from my father, who was the stewardship director of our Methodist church. And he studied for weeks and weeks and weeks. And he told us about giving the tithe. And he told us it was not required of us because we are not Israelites, but it is a gift that we give to honor God because he makes sure that we have a roof over our head, food in our bellies, clothes on our body. He gives us exactly what we need. Jesus told us that the people who don't know God are the Gentiles. They go after making sure their needs are met. That's what they do all day long. They just look around to make sure their needs are met. It's kind of like birds. God feeds the birds, but they have to go find it. God feeds the animals of the field, but they have to eat it. He doesn't open their mouths and make them chew grass. So my dad explained it to me that we go out and we earn our income, or we get blessed with an offering, or we get blessed with a allowance, and then we choose to give a portion of that. That is the joy of giving. My dad taught me the joy of giving because every Saturday morning we'd get up at 5:30 in the morning, and sitting on our kitchen table and on the couch in the living room were 12 to 14 boxes. And there'd be a loaf of bread, jar of peanut butter, a thing of oatmeal, several candy bars, some other things. And we'd run by the store and get a gallon of milk and packages of bologna. We'd put them in there, and then we'd go to people's houses. And my dad, who could run like you would not believe, he would sneak up very quietly, put them on the doorstep, ring the doorbell, and then run. And I'd sit in that Galaxy 500, and I'd watch people come to the door and look down and see a box full of food and not know where it came from. And I'd watch them cry when they looked around, and they didn't know where it came from, but they knew that they needed that food. Now, do they think my dad gave them that food? No. God used my dad to give them that food. So I got to see what the joy of giving was. Sometimes God uses us to give to somebody else. It does not say in the Bible that if you give to somebody else, you've lost out. It doesn't say when you give to the church, you've lost out. I'm sharing this because God wanted me to explain to you that no matter what's happened in your life, you're on the prosperous side. You're on the winning side. And you have the opportunity to give back to God by giving in this offering today, but you also have the opportunity to give back to God because you smile at the person sitting next to you. You take somebody to lunch. You babysit their kid. You buy them a scarf. You do something nice for somebody else. And that, my friend, is the joy of giving. Because when you see that smile on someone else's face, and you hear that thank you, or maybe you did it anonymously, and you get to sit off on the sidelines and watch somebody else bless them, it does something to you. And when you get to that point, greed and anger, fear, depression, they seem to fly away. And so that's what he wanted me to share with you. I have enough scriptures to read for 25 minutes. And this is honed down. I had 3 pages of giving scriptures. But he wanted you to know today that you are more like God when you find the time and the ability to give, even when you don't think you have it. Because when you give, things happen on your behalf. God makes sure that you have enough. Now, I've never been without food, or clothing, or a roof over my head since I turned my heart to a joyous giving, not an obligated giving. And I don't know why that's what he wanted me to share with you today, other than I think somebody may have needed to know that there is nothing too difficult for God. There is no need too small and no need too big. And He will make sure that what you need is supplied. So there are offering envelopes on the table. Feel free to give. If you're going to give in the, if you don't want to give with envelopes, you can text to give at EMIC with the dollar amount. But I encourage you today to not just give in this offering, but to give with your heart. Give Cherie attention. That's a gift. Listening to what she has to say is blessing her. Do it with a smile on your face, because she's up here and she can see you guys. So that's a gift. Find somebody that doesn't know you and give them something, whether it be a hug or a smile or just saying, you know, I'll pray for you today. That's what I was supposed to share today. God bless you. I think it's Miss Sue's turn.
Was that all right?
You did great.
Okay. I forgot loud. I'm a loud person.
That's all right. You did good. She did great. I almost feel like I want to ask y'all to move up a little bit. You want them to come up a little bit, or are they okay? Everybody's at the back tables. Yeah, it's like, y'all are way over there. Anyway, I want to introduce our guest speaker today. And she's worked here for EMIC for 18 years. But you've probably been here longer than that, haven't you? Or did you start as soon as you got here? Okay. She's married to a gentleman named Danny. And what I thought this was interesting, I have a friend that had neighbors that their names were Danny and Cherie, and they're from Australia. And I thought that was so interesting, a Danny and Cherie and a Danny and Cherie. Anyway, they've been married almost 48 years. Isn't that amazing? She doesn't look like she's that old, does she? She has a daughter and son and three granddaughters that live in California. And she has a son and a daughter-in-law in Colorado. So she's got some really nice places to go vacation. Anyway. She's been over the bookstore for all this time. Y'all probably all know her and have seen her in there. But she has an amazing love for Israel. Just, it's amazing to me. And you've been to Israel twice, and you're going again this time? Yay! So let's welcome Cherie.
Thank you. Well, you guys aren't moving up, so I'm moving closer to you. Is that okay? Woo! All right. Well, praise God. It's always such an honor and privilege to come speak with you ladies. Just, wow. Thank you. Thank you. I had something really different to say, but let me read First Corinthians. Well, let me pray first. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Father, I just thank you that you are gracious and that you're gracious to us today. Thank you, Father, for ears to hear. Thank you for putting your words in my mouth. Thank you, Father, that I only say what you would. have me to say. We love you, Lord. This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We give you all the praise and the honor, and everyone said, amen. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 13, 7 and 8, and you're all probably all real familiar with this. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. Let me get my glasses. It says, love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never fails. So I'm calling this teaching the blessing that hangs on love. And to walk in the blessing, everything must hang on love. Faith that connects us to the blessing works by love. And fear that disconnects us from the blessing is cast out by love. Like I started to say, I had prepared something different. And about 8 o'clock last night, the Lord changed it. So you'll all pray for me and bear with me. Something kind of funny happened, but I bit my tongue, and it was really sore, and yesterday it was so swollen that I could hardly speak. You know, it's coming out all fat and thick, and I thought, okay, Lord, you're going to have to help me. So if some words come out a little funny, you'll know why. But walking in love keeps us in the brightness of the blessing, and it keeps us out of the darkness of the curse. If you all remember a few years ago, the Lord gave Brother Copeland a vision. And I'm sure you probably heard him tell, if you've been around here for very long, you've heard him tell this. He saw a man trying to hang some curtains, some heavy curtains, on a big wall. And the man was having a really hard time. He had one panel up, and then he'd run over and try to hang another panel. And when he got over there, as soon as he got the one up, the other one would fall. So pretty soon the man gave up, and so he had a big pile of curtains in the floor, just sitting in the floor. And at first, Brother Copeland said it looked like a comedy routine. And then he noticed that each curtain had a name on it. One curtain had the name Faith on it. Another curtain had Healing written on it. And another one, Prosperity, and so on. And as the man lay on the floor in the pile of curtains, the Lord drew Brother Copeland in, and he could hear the man crying. And it wasn't funny anymore. The man was crying, and he was saying, what's wrong with my faith? I believe in faith, but my faith isn't working. What's wrong with my faith? I believe in healing, but I'm sick. What's wrong with my faith? I believe in prosperity, but I can't pay my bills. Has anyone ever felt like that? I have. Brother Copeland said that in his vision, suddenly he could see little snakes slithering in and out of the curtains. They were biting the man and nipping at his heels. And that made Brother Copeland mad. And he said, hey, those are gifts of God. What are devils doing in those curtains? Then the Lord drew him in some more, and he saw a massive rod in the corner of the room. It was really big, and it was made of solid gold. And it had some words written on it. It had Matthew 22, 37 through 40. It had that written on the side. It said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. You know that one? This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And then he heard the voice of the Lord shouting, hang the rod, not the curtains. Hang the rod. The curtains are fastened to the rod. The rod of love. Love is the law that governs the operation of the blessing. And to fully understand what that means, you're going to have to remember what the word law, how it's defined. We've heard Pastor Terry talk about this. And it can be defined in two ways. First of all, number one, there are irrefutable laws, such as laws that govern nature. Those are irrefutable laws. Those are truths. They cannot be changed. They work every time they're put to work, right? It's like the laws of physics or the laws of mathematics. They fall into that same category. And it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what form of government is in power or even what kind of rules that men make. Whatever rules they come up with, these laws are irrefutable and they can't be altered. You know, we could have a government that says 2 + 2 = 5, but it wouldn't make any difference because that law doesn't change. The Supreme Court could declare that the laws of gravity have been canceled, but that wouldn't matter either because when the thing hit the floor that you dropped, when you drop something, it'd still fall and hit the floor, right? Because the laws of gravity are irrefutable. And even though most people think that irrefutable laws only apply to the natural realm, the spiritual realm is more real than the natural realm. And the spiritual realm is also governed by laws. The spiritual world, it's not a place where just anything goes. It's not loosey-goosey. The spiritual realm is governed by laws. God, who is a spirit, created all the earthly matter. He patterned the physical world after the spiritual, right? One spiritual law that we hear around here all the time is Romans 3:27, the law of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the law of faith. And the law of faith goes into operation when two elements come together. Two elements. The hearer and the word of God. Two elements. When those two elements come together, it always produces the same thing. Faith. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter who your parents are. Where you come from. Doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman or what color skin you have. The law of faith works the same way for everyone all the time. And we know that faith doesn't come from drastic circumstances or horrible experiences, because if it did, everyone on earth would be faith giants. And they're not. That's not how faith works. Faith comes by hearing. People who use their faith when drastic circumstances happen or horrible experience, you know, they have a horrible experience, they're going to get through the situation better and stronger, and they're going to be stronger. And people who don't, won't. It's just that simple. Galatians 5:6 tells us about another law that works alongside the law of faith. Anybody know what that one is? Faith worketh by love. Now that is an unalterable truth. Faith works by love. Like a car runs on gasoline. No gas, no go. No love, no faith. Like the law of gravity, it is irrefutable. The second type of law that exists both in the natural realm and the spiritual realm is governmental law. Governmental law. Governmental laws are put into effect and are enforced by whatever legal authorities that you have in the land. You can break them, But we all know there's going to be consequences, right? You run a red light, you get a ticket. You steal a car, you go to jail. There are consequences. Well, God's governmental laws are called commandments. And people can break them. People do break them all the time. But when they do, it's called sin. It's pretty simple. Sin is violating the established laws of God, the governmental laws of God. Now, the devil tries to tell people that God made those laws because he's mad at man. God doesn't want man to have fun. But that's not true. God gave us governmental law to protect us, to keep us from killing ourselves. He knows that the wages of sin is death. And sin will make you pay. Sin will make you pay up. That's the devil's game. The world thinks that they can mock God. They say there's nothing wrong with breaking God's laws. But the consequences is still death. You know why? It's a law. It's a law. The law of sin and death. So opening the door to sin gives the devil access to your life. And you know, we know what he comes to do. Steal, kill, and destroy. So what do we do? What do we do? Do we focus on sin all the time? Do we have to live our lives constantly trying to avoid every little sin? No. Thank you, God. We have what James calls the royal law. The royal law of God's kingdom. Love. Love is the law of the Spirit of life. And that law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has made us free from the law of sin and death. Now, we could read John 1. I'm just going to read it. You just listen. John 1, chapter 1. We know this, but just listen to it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with love, and the Word was love. The same was in the beginning with love. All things were made by love, and without love was not anything made that was made. Nothing that was made without love. So that means every cell in your body, every cell in my body, every molecule in this physical, material universe, all the animals, all the fish in the sea, all the trees, every grain of sand, all the dirt, all were made by love. Love's word. Love created you. Love breathed life into you. So that means anything contrary to love goes against the very substance you were made from. Let's say every word of strife. Put it this way. Every word of strife. Every disharmony, strife, disharmony, violates the very way you were made. The very way that you and I were made. Every unloving word, every unloving thought, unloving actions, they all do damage to our system, to our nervous system, our cells, every cell of our body. That's why Proverbs has so much to say. Proverbs, like Proverbs 14, says that envy, what does envy do? Rots your bones. No matter what. Let's go there. Let's do this. Jesus said that love was the greatest commandment, right? That's why we're commanded to love, because love is healing. Love is health. Healing and health to our bodies. So when we strive and when we fuss, we really become our own worst enemies. We actually begin to self-destruct. But when we walk in love, not only do we bless others, but we edify ourselves. With every act of love, with every kind word, with every loving gesture, the cells of our body respond in life. Our minds respond. Our spirits expand, and we're strengthened. Walking in love actually prepares us to walk in the anointing that we were created to carry. When we step out of love, we step into darkness. And that's where the curse is. The curse is in the darkness. But we belong to the light, right? Because we were born of light. God is light. 1 John tells us that we were born of God, that we're children of the light. And Ephesians tells us that we're supposed to walk in the light. Walk in the light and walk in the love. You know, science has proven that light is the ultimate power of the universe. That all matter has light at the center of its structure. So since light is the source of all physical power, every act of darkness then dims that power. Does that make sense? I don't know about you, but I don't want my power dimmed. Right? We step out of love. We step out of light, who is God. Step out of love, step out of light, and that affects our every cell of our being. It dims us. Every discouraging word, every unloving word that comes out of our mouth affects our body in a negative way. It throws our whole system off, our whole spirit, our whole soul, our whole body, throws it into confusion. The Bible says, where there is envy and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. And all of this causes us to stumble. But not only us, it causes others to stumble also. 1 John 2 tells us that he that loveth his brother abides in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. None. We stay in the light. Light stops us also from getting into fear. Just think about it. Light keeps us sure-footed. When we're in the light, you know, we're confident. Why does all the bad stuff happen at night? Just watch any crazy TV show. I mean, don't watch it, but I'm just saying, it all happens at night. Satan has a hard time putting anything over on us when we're in the light. Because fear abides in darkness. So stay in the light. Keep walking in love. That's what Jesus did. And you know, we also have orders from our commander in chief. So that means when we get our feelings hurt and we're tempted to step out of love, we must, because we're commanded, we must tell our flesh, no. We don't do that. We're not going that way. We're not doing that. We have to tell our minds what to think. You know, you don't fight thoughts with thoughts. You fight thoughts with words. We have to tell our minds what to think. We have to tell our mouths what to say so that we don't violate the greatest commandment, the royal law of love. Now, I'm going to read Luke 6 to you. And just listen again to it. Luke 6, 27 through 36 says, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Really? Really? This is in the Bible. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, somebody that slaps you in the face, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, somebody takes your scarf, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give him your coat. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, don't ask for it back. Just give it to him. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye likewise to them. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? Sinners do the same. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to them whom you hope to receive back, what thank have you? For sinners lend to sinners because they expect to receive back. But love your enemies and do good. And lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. So be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is also merciful. So according to this passage, there are only two ways to think about our enemies. We're either going to love them or we're going to hate them. Two choices. We'll either do good to them or we're going to try to retaliate for whatever they do to us. And you know the blessing is not retaliatory. So we must decide. Are we going to love them? Or are we going to hate them? You know, you don't get up in the morning and you say, I think I'll try to be nice today. You're not going to make it through traffic. We have to make a firm commitment to walk in love. No matter what, because it's God's commandment. And you know, with that commandment, we can be assured that God loves us, that, you know, when we're assured that he loves us and he's our source, you know, faith begins where the will of God is known. You have to know the will of God. Faith stops at the question mark. If you have a question about God's loving you, your faith's not going to work. You're not going to be able to go out and love somebody else. So you have to know that God loves you. Right? You have to know that he's a good God, that he is the blesser, and that his blessing will work in every situation for you, and that it will turn out for good because he loves you. Once we have that kind of faith in his love, it won't matter what someone else does to us. God wants us to love like he loves. You know, he has shed his love abroad in our hearts. You know, we don't get to say, I can't. I can't do that. Because yes, we can. His love is in our hearts. And we can do it. God wants us to see from his perspective. So when you know how much he loves you, you see yourself seated with him. And that's when he can trust you to be the blessing carrier that he's created you to be. And you'll start praying for that person that cut you off in traffic. I had a hard time with that. Somebody would whiz around me and I'd say, oh, where's the policeman when you need him? And the Lord really brought me up and he said, pray for them. Pray for them that they don't kill themselves or kill somebody else. So I've really been determined to do that. I mean, can you tell traffic is an area that I'm working on? I'm making a firm decision. I'm going to love. I'm going to love when I'm driving my car in traffic. And sitting and waiting for a train. When you have a meeting. When we walk in that kind of love, the blessing overflows in our lives. I'm going to read you something else here, so just listen. I know you're familiar with this one, but just listen. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You know, sometimes we read verse 38, and we forget verse 37 above it that says, judge not, condemn not. Because when you can love and judge not and condemn not, that's when it's given unto you. That's when the good measure comes. That's when men give into your bosom. So we need to stay out of strife, and we need to learn how to deal with our enemies by making a commitment to love. But we also need to learn how to stay out of strife with our Christian brothers and sisters when they do us wrong. This can be a real area I don't know about you, but I've worked out in the world, and I'm thinking, well, they just don't know any better. You know, that was easy for me to get over that. I had a harder time with people I thought should know better. You know, sometimes it's easy when it's you say something that affected another person, you go fix it right away. Even if your feelings feel like, your emotions are like a yo-yo, you know. But we're not moved by our emotions. And we can't let condemnation come in on us either. You have to command the symptoms of condemnation to leave. Sometimes you just need to stand in front of the mirror and have a faith talk with yourself. Jesse says you put a behold on yourself. Look in the mirror and you have a talk with yourself. And you may be okay with repenting. You know that you've done something that you shouldn't have done. But your flesh just might not like it if that other person doesn't respond in the same way. Yeah. But if we're going to stay in love, if we're going to walk in love, you know, you're just going to have to get over it. I heard Brother Copeland say, that's a or even Pastor George, that's a gloryism. Get over it. You're just going to have to get over it. Because holding on to that offense is like drinking poison and hoping the other person's gonna die. That's dumb. That's so dumb. But good things start happening to you when you forgive. So forgive as a sacrifice unto the Lord. And when the longer you live like that, the stronger you get, the stronger the power of love and faith become in you. And it'll eventually get so big in you that you can't contain it. And love will just gush out of you. It'll flow out of you, and it'll control the atmosphere around you. People won't be able to stand it. They'll just fall on their face, and they'll get saved. Sickness and disease will flee. You know, that's what happened with John G. Lake. Couldn't stay in his presence. The love of God goes to work creating the Garden of Eden everywhere you go. You know, love changes people. Love doesn't manipulate people. So don't try to use love on people to get them to change. You know, changing them is not our job. Our part is to love them whether they like us or not. We have the same capacity to love that God has. And our part is to activate that capacity by making a qualified decision to love. Stay out of strife. Stay out of strife in the church. You know, strife in the church hinders the corporate blessing. Amen. If the devil can get to us, not just as individuals, but as a body, if we step out of love and we start fighting with one another, you know, he'll drag sickness in. He'll drag, he'll shut down the finances. You know, it shuts down faith. It contaminates the gifts of the Spirit to the point where they'll be totally ineffective. You know, I have a corn on my little toe. And just that little toe, affects my whole body. I mean, I'm thinking about, oh, well, I'd like to wear those shoes, but I can't wear those shoes because that little corn. It, affects everything. So we have to stay out of strife for the corporate body. We have to realize that walking in love has everything to do with the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. They're all tied together because they're all parts of the blessing. And the blessing is a person. His name is Jesus. The more we walk in love, the more they're going to operate in our lives. And that's not just in church. That'll be all the time. Walmart, McDonald's, on the street. None of the gifts of the Spirit work without the love of God. Love is the powerhouse, and love never fails. So this morning, if you all will, make a confession with me. I'm working on making this confession every day. So I'm going to, if you'll just repeat after me. The love of God is in me.
The love of God is in me.
So I am patient and kind.
So I am patient and kind.
The love of God is in me.
The love of God is in me.
So I do not envy.
So I do not envy.
And I am not puffed up.
The love of God is in me,
so I don't behave rudely
or selfishly.
The love of God is in me,
so I am not provoked,
and I think no evil.
By the love of God
that abides in me, I bear all things.
I believe all things.
I believe all things.
I hope all things.
I hope all things.
I endure all things.
I endure all things.
God's love in me.
God's love in me.
Never fails.
Never fails.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, ladies.
We good? Want to ask me some questions? Want me to stay here?
You got 10 minutes. Before you were supposed to be done, you got 10 more minutes.
Oh.
You got 10 more minutes.
Got 10 more minutes. Well, let's talk.
Oh, this is awesome. It's amazing. I just went over.
God is.
I just went over part of the greatest thing
Henry
by Henry
Drummond.
With my leadership team this morning, and we went over a lot of these things. I thought, look at God. Yeah. He's telling us and telling us to love.
Yeah, when
love
he makes a change, be quick to do it. He's got a reason. You might not know it all, you know. It was like 8 o'clock last night, and it's, yes, sir. Quick to obey.
You did great. This was amazingly awesome. Took 2 pages of notes. When you were talking about when they, instead of that having that road rage and, you know, praying for the person, immediately I thought, I'll pray for myself.
Well, yes, yes.
Don't get in strife. And then when you talked about the love of God creates the Garden of Eden everywhere we go. One of the things the Lord has been showing me about that is sinus problems. God gave us the breath of life. And the next verse after that, he says he placed man in the garden. Where is, what's in the garden? Flowers and trees and grasses and stuff. And he gave us the breath of life. Placed us in the midst of all of that, so it shouldn't be bothering us. And so we have to realize, God placed me in this garden with the breath of life, and the devil's trying to steal it from me.
Allergies aren't part of the blessing.
No, they're not.
No, they are not.
They are not. And so we have to remind ourselves, I'm walking in the love of God, it's in me, and I can walk in this garden.
And you can walk out that garden wherever you go.
Yes.
That's what we were created to do.
Yes.
We were to take the blessing. That was what Adam was supposed to do. He was supposed to take that blessing, but he forfeited it. He was supposed to take that blessing and walk it out and cover the earth with the Garden of Eden.
With that blessing. And so we're still learning. We are still learning. So I see you can hardly contain yourself, Miss Linda.
We all think of love as loving other people. And we can't love our neighbor if we don't love us. So we need to understand that God doesn't command us to love others but not love ourselves. Yeah. And we are not to speak badly of ourselves because we are God's creation. And there's a lot of self-deprecation among believers and churchgoers and thinking that we're not fit. And he never said in his word that we were not fit. Mm-hmm. He calls us accepted in the beloved. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'm going to take one more minute. Okay, half a minute. My sister, who was raised in the same family, my biological sister, was in that closet with me. And she was raised by a bad family. When they were adopted, their family was terrible. And I remember the day that I told her, because under the anointing, that she was accepted in the beloved. Tears, I mean, not, her whole face was wet. And she said, that's not in the scripture. And I took her. It's in there three times that we are accepted in the beloved. And we need to remember that. So the love of God is only shed abroad in our hearts as much as we allow God's love to love us, and then we can love others.
We love Amen. Because he first loved us.
Yes. That was one of the things in Henry Drummond's book that we shared this morning. We love because he loved us. His love is the cause why we love.
God has saved the whole world. Mm-hmm. It's a done deal. If they knew the love, mm-hmm. we are to be carriers of that love to a world that just hasn't received yet.
Mm-hmm. You know, I heard a story once that our military, our soldiers that go overseas, many of the people there want to come to the Lord because they see the love in them. America is free because of love. And a lot of other nations out there are not walking in the same freedom that we're walking in because the love is not there. You know, I was just talking to a friend of mine, and she goes to get her nails done, and this little Vietnamese girl said that she's fixing to go back to Vietnam for like 4 weeks or something to visit family. And she says, we here in America have no idea of the freedom that we have. She says, over there, they have to be very careful of what they say and who they say it to because they don't have freedom of speech. And they can't, you know, I can't just come up to you and say, hey, I don't like the way this law works over here. This person can turn around and you can be in prison within hours, just because you voiced that you didn't like the way a particular thing was being done.
You know, we get upset sometimes with our government, our mm-hmm. president, our leadership, and we're all praying for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But God set up this country mm-hmm. in a way to protect us. Mm-hmm. The way that we're set up, the structure that our forefathers structured, set up this country so that we would, the way we even break down in states, the government of each state mm-hmm. is for our own protection because God loved us so much, he cares for the individual. It's mm-hmm. not socialism. It's not communism.
Mm-hmm.
It's care and love for the individual.
Exactly. And so we're surrounded in a nation of love, and we don't even realize it. And, you know, I'm not world traveled. I just went to a party this past weekend, and this couple showed us a slideshow of all the different places they've been in the world. I mean, they're like world travelers. They have been just about everywhere. And I was like, oh, my goodness, you know. And they've had an opportunity to see firsthand the freedoms that are not mm-hmm. out there. And they're always just so glad to be back home.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so I was like, you know, Roy and I travel by watching TV, you know, the Travel Channel, and seeing all these different things. But many times they don't show you the hardships of that country. They show you the pretty stuff, the mm-hmm. neat-looking mm-hmm. things, you know, the awesome food, the historical locations. But they don't actually show you the poverty of the nation and the, you know, that you get to see when you travel there.
A lot of people that complain about our country and always have all this stuff to say, I say, go live somewhere else for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You'll come back and appreciate this country.
Mm-hmm.
Just go visit for a month.
Just, it doesn't take very long.
No, it doesn't. A week even. Anyway, wasn't this awesome, her reminding us of the love of God?
Yes.
This is something we always have to be reminded of. There. We have refreshments in the back, and there's some awesome goodies back there. Anyway, love y'all. I wanted to, if anybody needs prayer, they can come up if y'all want more of the love of God infused in you. I also wanted to share with y'all that if any of you want to come Friday, I have a little brochure over here. If y'all would like one, explaining more about what's happening Friday night.